can't remember what day of the week it was. I think it was Thursday, maybe. It might have been Friday. We was listening to our MP3 player to the Book of Luke being read, and several things stood out in our mind. We was it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, if you'd want to turn there, in Luke, the 4th chapter. That this is where Christ is being tempted. And we could take many directions from this as far as what the Lord might have us to know. But, it's just amazing that that the four things that Satan promised Christ is the same four things that he promises of the world today. Not only is it the same four things that he promises the world today, but it's the same four things that that as human beings we seek to have. We know that not only is it Satan that comes to us and offers these things, but we know that there's a lot of people that have learned that they can be successful if they promise these four things to individuals in this life. Because I think it's a longing in everyone's heart to possess them. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to read, and then we're going to see what the Lord has to not what he's necessarily said in these particular instances as he was speaking to Satan, but that what he has spoken to us in response to these four things that are, it seems as if it were in the hearts of everyone. It says in the 4th chapter, we're going to break in at the 2nd verse. It says, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, we know that in this particular instance here that that this is also spoken out in Matthew and in Mark. There's only two verses that it mentions in Mark, but more or less that Jesus Christ had went was in the wilderness and was tempted of Satan. But Matthew goes into it and is almost as in greater detail as Luke. And we were listening. It seems like we preach out of Matthew and John probably. If we looked on the internet, we probably out of the four Gospels we preach out of those two books the most. I don't know why that is. If it just seems as if those verses or those books speak to our heart maybe a little bit more. But as we were listening to Luke here, it's amazing how the detail that Luke gives is a little bit different. And when we're so used to because the things in the Bible a lot of times are recorded in all the four Gospels, or maybe just one or two here or three there, that it seems like that when we think about them, so many times we think about the verses that are wrote in Matthew. But we noticed here that that it was a slightly different than what it was in Matthew. Not that they contradicted in any way, but that the things that were said were spoken just slightly different. And same with what we'll be reading later on in Luke. And it says here, and it says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now that's what, as it summed it up, that it says here, that he returned in the power of the Spirit. If you read the first verse, which we didn't, it said, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan, and it was there that he entered into the wilderness. So we have at the beginning of this, dialogue, we have where Jesus Christ is full of the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of it, we find that he returned in the power of the Spirit. That in this time of temptation, Christ was not weakened in the least. And we can look at that and we see that it's out of order a little bit compared to Matthew. Matthew has him first, as it were, asking him to listen to him and to make this stone into bread. And then instead of going up on a high mountain and promising him the world, he takes him up there in that place where he said, "Now jump down." And for that reason, though we like the account where the Lord here, it gives a little bit more detail where he responds to the devil, and the devil says, when he took him, as it were, on a high mountain, it said he showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said unto him, "I will give all this power, I will give thee, and glory." So if we look at these, there's four things that the Lord was promised by Satan. Now we know Satan is a liar, but we know that Satan comes unto all of mankind and more or less promised these same things. He promises comfort. We know that Jesus Christ, no doubt, after fasting for 40 days, was hungry. Now I know that if you pass beyond 3 days, there comes a point where hunger's not an issue anymore. As far as the pain in your stomach, we've experienced that ourselves. Now there is the understanding in one's mind, and there's a lot of it that's psychological, says, "Daryl, you need to eat." But I'm talking about not fasting for 5 days, because then at that point the hunger is left. But we're talking about 40 days. The medical doctors teach me that at about day 38 or 39, true hunger sets in. And if you don't eat something, you're going to die. We know that Jesus Christ physically, no doubt was at his weakest point. One could even make the argument, just as weak, maybe a little bit even weaker than after the beatings he received the night before. He stood there, or he hung there on Calvary, where it was too weak to carry the cross. Jesus Christ went out there and fasted for 40 days. And Satan come to him. And he said, just take these stones, Jesus. You're not a dying. And make them bread. But what was Christ being asked to do? The same thing that Jesus, or Satan, comes to us. He promises us comfort. He says, and that's what he was saying to Jesus. "Jesus, you're hungry. Won't you comfort yourself?" And that's what Satan would have of every one of us to do, to listen to him. But then he goes on, and he's not satisfied with just by listening to us. But he wants our worship. And not only does he want our worship, but he wants us listening to him, you to obey him. So he offered Christ a comfort. He offered him protection in a roundabout way. He said, "Throw yourself over this here high place, and the angels will bear you up." He weren't offering protection himself, was he? But he was appealing to Christ and appealing to man's pride, saying, "If thou be the Son of God," as if Jesus had to prove anything to the devil. So then, when he appeals to and offers us comfort, whether it would be power or
praise. I did it, and we said, all these nations will I give to thee, and the glory thereof. He was offering him power and praise. All you gotta do, son of Christ, is worship me, and I'll give this. All you gotta do is listen to me, and I'll give you comfort. All you gotta do is cast yourself down, and you'll find protection. But Christ responds, he's not gonna listen to it. He sure ain't gonna worship him. Oh, but Satan says, listen to me. Oh, what he say? Oh, we can read it again. Here, he said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's where we find our comfort, church. When Satan offers us to us, when you're hungry, don't look in the kitchen cupboard. Don't go to the world. But you can find it in God's word. When your own power, or praise as it were, the Lord tells us, no other than God shall you worship, but that there is only but one God, and Him shall you serve. Speaking about the Heavenly Father. And then what it says there when Satan would promise us protection. Because what did he do there? He said, Christ, listen to me. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to listen to God's word. And he said, I'll give you power and praise. The Lord said, no, I find that in God Almighty. That's where I'm going to serve. And then he said, all right, you don't want to listen to me, and you don't want to serve me. Oh, well, guess what? Won't you serve yourself? Won't you prove to me that you are who you said you are? And God said, no, Satan, the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God. Well, what was what? I was listening to that at work, and I thought, here we find the secret recipe, as it were, for these mega churches throughout our land and modern religion today. They stand and say, I'll promise you comfort. I'll give you power, and I'll adorn you with praise. But you see, protection come in. You'll find it here in our numbers. But the Lord does the right things, as it were. Looking for instant gratification. We went to the store. I went to Sutherland's. I went to Lowe's. And then before that, we went out there to that greenhouse. I can't remember the name of it. That's where Randy lives now. Maryland's, I think it's called. Went in that greenhouse. We've been there. We bought vegetables. Plants before. Went in that old greenhouse. I didn't have a vegetable one. And I thought, isn't that silly? Here people are. Work and all they got. It's pretty shrubberies. Plants and this. Flowers. And I got to thinking, you know, there'd probably be more people planting vegetables if you could buy them in full bloom. But why? Because people want to buy that. They want to see that. As it were, instant gratification. Boy, that's pretty. I think I'm going to take this blooming flower and stick it in the garden. So it is with the things of the world. They say, I'll give you comfort right now. I'll give you power right now. You won't praise. You're a special person. You won't protection. It's here right now. But we find, as our Father already mentioned this morning, boy, I feel like I got some bricks of wood today. Listen to me now. We find in Luke, you want to turn there in the 6th chapter. The Bible says in the 20th verse, we're going to read the Beatitudes. Though this wasn't God or Jesus' response to these four things that Satan promised. Why? Because the Christ was dealing with Satan directly. But here lies our answer. pastor's church, or when the world, or when the devil comes and says, I'll give you comfort, I'll give you protection, I'll give you power and praise. Oh, we find what the Lord says in the 20th verse of the 6th chapter. It says, and he that lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be fed. Whoa! The world says, I'll give it to you now. Oh, but I want to tell you something. Tomorrow you'll be hungry. Thanks be to God, though. My God promises me there is coming a filling that shall last forever. For I fell. Blessed be ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Don't sound like he's promising a protection to be singled out as that word. But let us listen a little bit further. When they shall reproach you and cast you out, your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did you their fathers the prophets unto the prophets. Oh, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye shall receive, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Listen to me now. When the world offers me comfort and protection, when they give us, I'll give you power and praise. The Lord's giving their warning, as it were. Other is man that heard the cries of Lazarus sitting there by his gate every day, laying there crapping, begging for food. The Bible tells me, blessed are they that hunger now, for they shall be full. We see where a rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and seen Lazarus. What the Lord said to him, he more or less said, you were full, now you're hunger. And Lazarus is in comfort. Lazarus is being protected. Lazarus is giving praise unto the Most High God. And I'm thankful the world holds the promise of instant gratification. Treasures for those that are willing to wait. I'm glad though the kids in this world anymore say, gimme, gimme, gimme. And my parents hand it out. Well, they go from one thing to another. I hear the every hero. I don't hear my kids say it so much. But maybe they do. I ask for a while. Boy, I'm bored. I'm bored of this. I'm bored of that. And the parents run to them. They give them instant gratification. Listen, that's what the world's offering them. Well, what we need to teach them is there is blessings for those that wait on the Lord. The Lord said it's all right to be hungry. Glory to God. Just go wait a little while and you'll find food everlasting. It's all right to be a little cold. We're going to land if you give your heart to Jesus. Oh, hell, you'll never feel the cold.
do. Well, I can cross on your brow. Thanks be to God. I serve a God that's willing to be, that's worthy of for me to wait on. I'll wait right here, Lord, at the gate of the rich fair. I've got a promise for the hungry come. And I'm thankful of that. And each and every one of you ought to be too. Unless you bought into the lies that the world has the devil's children for promising people. You know, we're supposed to be in a recession of some sort. We went out there to that Maryland, I think that's what it's called. Oh, there's people loading up everything. Big old shrubberies, this and that. Never thought he needed to go out and see if he could find him some deals on planting some kind of stuff in the garden, grow some food. You know what? There's a lot of people signing by that food. I want to have praise. You can buy that food cheaper than you can put it in the garden. I had guys at work. There's one fella at work. He's got a family as big as mine. And every one of them, I guess he thinks that them being in sports will get them out, keep them out of trouble. Oh, you know what? He just needs to watch the news. It sure didn't help Tiger Woods. It sure ain't helped the football players, the baseball players. Every one of them got more. They got more troubles than they got money. But anyhow, some say, oh, and we hear it. We hear it in schools. If you go there, we hear it even in church. Oh, and you know, idle hands. You know what it says about idle hands. You know, we need to get them busy in something. Sports is good. Teaches them discipline. Teaches them this and that. And he's taking his kids, I reckon. He's got five children, and I think they got four games. They got two games a week, and I think his five children are on three different teams. So he's gone to six ball games a week, running to and fro. And I said, we sure couldn't do that. There'd be no time to work in the garden. You know what? People are so busy about doing this and doing that, and they'll say, oh, well, you know what, I can buy food cheap for not grow it, and I guess that's right. But what are you spending your time doing? If you ain't spending it for the Lord, it's a waste of time. Even if you got the biggest vegetable garden in all the county, but the point I'm making is they'll go and they'll plant strawberries in their yard, and they'll say, I enjoy that. But I can buy food cheaper and I can grow it. But when you're doing the same thing, it's hard when hard times come. How to eat a boxwood. What are you going to do with a hawthorn bush? Anything else you plan? My point being is that truly we see it today. It is as in the days of Noah. Men are going to and fro, married and giving in marriage, not paying attention, that tomorrow the Lord might come. And what have they done? Have they tended to their soul? You know, few people that have a vegetable garden anymore, there's something that's faithful to get it in the ground. And this is how I've been in the past. We didn't do very good last year. We get it in the ground and it looks real pretty for about 4 weeks. I barely even get the hoe out. You hoe them weeds, chop on them a while, and then haying season hits. Boom! We gotta work it. What it seems like if it's slow at work, there's always times when it gets busy. Turkey season, deer season, and hay season. And you can be on shared work and lay down 40 acres of hay. Now I want you to work overtime. That's just the way it is. So guess what? When it comes time to make hay, the garden gets put on the back burner. And the weeds, if they ain't careful, they'll take over. Now it's all right. There's been a many of vegetables that have been picked out of a weed patch. But you know, the point I'm making is that we need to, in order to have a good, in order to have an optimum yield for our labor, we need to spend more labor. It's not just the time, as it were. This friend of mine, he says, they got some railroad ties, his aunt or something, was going to have to make some raised beds, and she never got around to it, so I guess she wanted them ties hauled off, so he's hauled them off. He's putting them around, and he's trying to get him some dirt. And earlier this week, and I don't know, maybe he just don't like gardening. But earlier this week, he said, yeah, wait, that's what we're hoping to do. I said, well, the weather forecast says it's going to rain. You might want to do that earlier this week. He said, well, we're about planning for Saturday. And I thought, okay, well, it might rain on you. Well, we didn't get the rain, they's calm. Well, they say Saturday, Sunday, they moved that up to Friday, and then Friday, sprinkle. I thought, well, he'll get it in grand. He got 5 kids. We might not have a job in a month. You know, I'd be a little, not that I'm trusting in my vegetable garden. The Lord proved that to me last year. But it'd do us well. We're going to spend some time. We got some spare time to spend. To show our children the beauty and the nature of God. We planted some barley seed and these little packets. We got some. They come all the way from Tibet, and others come from Ethiopia. And they're a hullus barley. And because the seeds are so rare, they just gave us a little packet of them like you would have for overgrown, like a little pack of green beans or something. So anyhow, instead of casting them on the ground, we got 5 different varieties. I thought I'd put them in those little starter packages, you know. And I was wondering, they actually grew them out in California. They got them, and people go around there, it's called Seed Savers. And they go all over the world, and they get these seeds of what would be called rare plants, just like this barley. All the barley that you buy has got a hole on it, but that's no big deal. We just run it through a machine, a de-huller, and it takes the holes off. Everything's all right. Unless you don't have a de-huller and you want to grow some in your garden. Well, years ago, men selectively bred barley so it don't have a hull. But the problem with it is it's more readily to fall on the ground, which is not what you want if you're going to collect it with a big old combine, because you're going to lose seed. So this hullus barley is a rare thing now. See how we was planting them, and because, you know, you tell somebody you can have a rusty bowl, it ain't worth nothing but whatever scraps it'll bring. But you tell somebody it's a rare rusty bowl, it becomes precious, don't it? You can have a rusty piece of equipment out in your field, and all it's worth is scrap steel. But you tell somebody it's an antique, and they're going to pay you some money for it. You tell them that back when it was new, there was only 500 of them made. They'll pay even more money for it. Why? Because not only is it an antique, it's rare. Even though it don't work, even though it ain't got no paint on it, that's just the nature of man. So anyhow, I was planting stuff before in these little packets. So I planted them. I made the mistake. I normally wet down the bedding, and I didn't do that. And it's got that peat moss in it, and you've got to water it. Water just goes right through it and lets you moisten it first. So we had two of them. We got 200. I think there's 219 little spaces in these three little packets I bought, and we got them all, 4 3 different varieties of barley. Got them marked out. Then I watered them, and I thought, oh my goodness, am I going to water them too much? I just can't go to the store and buy some more of this seed. Matter of fact, when I bought this seed, they only said 1 per customer on this package of 5. So I'm thinking, did I water them too much? Well, maybe I need to water them some more. You know, if I water them too much, they'll get moldy. If I don't water them enough, they won't sprout. Well, we did that Thursday night, I think. Maybe it was Friday night. Was it Friday? Did that Friday night. Well, they said the depth of that seed ought to be 1 inch. 1 to 1.5 inches. Well, then this other book I said, no, you just barely cover any seed you plant. You just want them the depth, 3 times the thickness of the seed. All right, so I've got, you know, they're just a little seed. I got one telling me I need to put her an inch or 1.5 inches. Another one says, I better lean cover it up. So anyway, I didn't know what to do. So, and then I watered them, and I was worried. But you know what? We had them in the shower. That's where I put them. Because you want to put them in a dark spot. Well, last night we had to get them out because it was time for Saturday night showers. So we got them out, and it had only been 2 days. And apparently in all of that, there was one that was barely buried. God, I worried about it so much. My thing's already sprouted and took up. And it's got a big old, I'll tell you what it was, but it's got a big old long name. I can't pronounce it, and I don't even know where it's from, but it looks like it's either African or it's Oriental. My boys seem to think it sounds African when we try to mispronounce it. But when I mispronounce it, I think it sounds more Oriental. I don't know where it come from, but it done exactly what God created it to do. It was laying there, and it already sprouted. Because it's so shallow, we can see where it already cast out 3 roots and 1 shoot going out. Why can't we be like a seed? The Lord's provided the moisture. He provided the perfect environment. Do you realize that sometimes we say, oh, I'd be so much a better Christian if I was born in another time. If I was born in a different community. You know, there's people today that have grown cold on God and are sitting right up in church. And they say, oh, if I just lived out there or lived over here. Or I hear the churches are really spiritual over yonder. And if I lived there, things would be different. Listen to me. God in His infinite wisdom has provided us with everything we need. A perfect environment. All that is lacking is our unwillingness to do as that little seed. Let's get some song to sing. Have you fallen prey to the 4 things that the world promises? Are you looking for comfort and protection? Power and praise, so let me tell you, you can only find them that are everlasting in the things of God. But you have to wait. Oh, it is true that there's been many a time. Just last night, we prayed a prayer and the Lord needed to take a hand. Right then and there. And He did.
Amen.
But you know what? It seemed like we just couldn't pray through. There was a part of me not, and I was thinking as we was on our knees, I thought, Lord, I'm not ready to hold my mama. I tried all of her words of comfort. But then there was a part of me thinking, am I being a selfish person? Because of what the experience we had with my granddaddy, am I being a selfish person asking the Lord to keep my daddy here just a little bit longer? But you know what? God knows what's best. And I left it in His hands and I felt peace over it. And then Mama called and she says, he's doing better. And I thought, well, that's good. I hope to hear my daddy preaching. Daddy, I want to tell you something. This morning's message is the last one I ever hear you preach. It's a good one. And we have no promise of tomorrow. So I'm thankful that yes, when we can't wait, when it is of most greatest necessity, He shows up right then and there. But guess what? The world says that about everything. Just like a baby that cries, right? A baby cries when it's wet. A baby cries when it's hungry. A baby cries when it stumps its toe. And it just cries all the time. When they need help that very moment. Or when what they want could be waited on. But a baby cries because it has no other means in which to communicate. The Lord wants us to have a dialogue with Him. Jesus Christ spoke to Satan. He didn't go and expound and argue and say, well, I most certainly am the Son of God, and then go on and on and on about it and expound it. But He gave him God's Word. He quoted the Old Testament. And He had a conversation with Satan that was more in depth than a lot of so-called Christians have with their Savior. We can do better than that little baby that just cries. We can communicate to our Lord and talk to Him as a friend to a friend, and He will hear us.
Amen.
And we can find peace. We can find all these four things in the Lord. We're just going to have to wait. And it would do us everyone well. You know, I think children from time to time need vitamin N. You know what that is? Do you give your children vitamin N? Tell them no. Just because it's a vitamin they need. There's things sometimes that I could give my children that very moment. But they need a dose of vitamin N because good things come to those who wait. Go ahead. You seek comfort, you'll find it in God's Word. You want power and praise? We ought to give power and praise to the Lord. He tells me that if I lift Him up, He'll draw on me. And if Daryl gets himself out of the way, he'll not seek the praise of man, but he'll get lost in a multitude of people that praise the Most High God. You know, we were thinking about that when we was on our knees praying. We're broadcasted on a radio over there in Liberia, and they've been having power issues with the power going out. I don't know. I know very little about Liberia, if it might just be the heat of the year. I know in a lot of third world countries they have issues where everybody's trying to run. You know, what little bit of people have electricity, their power grid isn't very reliable, and I don't know if that's been the issue, or what. We just pray, Lord, that Your name might be glorified. And if we truly feel that time is running out, we should pray the most earnest for these people over there that possibly have never heard the gospel, that something that would go out. Not so that somebody all the way over there in Liberia might say, wow, those people over to go to that church, Nebo Free Will Baptist Church in Missouri, really means something to me. You know, it'd be nice if we heard somebody got saved because of the outreach that we've done. But you know what? I find peace in the fact that I'm just being obedient to God. If we never know, if we meet them in heaven, they'll not be praising us. They'll be praising the Lord. And if we had the knowledge that by our obedience somebody was being able to be reached, are we gonna feel good about ourselves? Or are we not gonna feel wonderful about our Savior and Him working through us? And then last of all, we seek protection. There's a lot of people that's afraid of the dark because of things that's happened to them. Because of things that might still yet happen to them in this life. We have a promise to be absent from this body. And that means if we've been removed from this world through persecution, through genocide of any sort, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. There is no greater protection. All we have to do is wait. Serve the Lord, be faithful to Him, and wait. Or we can take the word of a liar, and He might give us momentary promises that He's made us, but I wouldn't bet my life on it like so many are. I love each and every one of you.